Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Black holes, the cosmos, space, and time travel, science and technology, brought to you by theoretical physicist, futurist, popularizer of science, and world-renowned author, Professor Michio Kaku,
and GCNLive.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. On Science Fantastic, we profile the amazing, jaw-dropping scientific discoveries which are revolutionizing the world and touching our lives. And today we're going to talk about a space probe that is way out there in outer space and is scooping up material from an asteroid. That's right, we're going to be bringing back stardust from outer space. The probe is called OSIRIS-REx. We have with us Dr. Michael Nolan, who's the science team's chief with the OSIRIS-REx program. And today we're going to be talking about asteroids. Because, you know, potentially, asteroids could be dangerous. One day, perhaps, an asteroid could come barreling our direction without much warning. Not to mention the fact that Google billionaires see that asteroids could be a gold mine of platinum-based materials and minerals, and if you could bring back an asteroid, you could become an instant billionaire. Well, also let me say that if you want to get on Science Fantastic, then give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. That's 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters of the radio station or website you're listening to, and the city you're calling from, and bingo, maybe you can get on 100 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic. Also, I'd like to say thank you for all the people that picked up a copy of my latest book. It's called The God Equation, The Quest for a Theory of Everything. Because of you, the book sailed on to the bestseller list. It made the New York Times, Amazon, and independent bookstores bestseller list. So thank you so much. And once again, it's about the greatest quest in the history of science. Is there a single unifying principle, a paradigm, a theory that can summarize this vast universe of ours? Some people think so. In fact, some people think it's called string theory. If you watch CBS television and you know that Sheldon is a physicist, what does he work on? He works on string theory, which is also what I do for a living. That's my day job. I'm the co-founder of string field theory, one of the main branches of string theory. And we think, therefore, that all subatomic particles, this zoo of subatomic particles, is nothing but, well, musical notes. Musical notes that you can play on a tiny rubber band. So an electron close up is not a point particle at all. It's a vibrating rubber band. And if you tweak it, it turns into a neutrino. You tweak it again, it turns into a quark. You tweak it again, it turns into all the subatomic particles that we've spent billions of dollars categorizing. So physics is the laws of harmony on tiny, tiny vibrating strings. Chemistry is the melodies you can write on these interacting strings. The universe is a symphony of strings. And the mind of God that Albert Einstein wrote about for the last 30 years of his life is cosmic music. Cosmic music resonating through 11-dimensional hyperspace. But once again, if you want to find out more about what all the excitement is about, my latest book is called The God Equation, The Quest for a Theory of Everything, now an international bestseller. Well, today we're going to talk about the space program with Dr. Michael Nolan. He's a science team chief with the OSIRIS-REx program, and he's, well, bringing back a piece of stardust from outer space. The probe has intercepted an asteroid called Bennu in outer space, scooped up asteroid material, and eventually wants to bring it back to Earth. So rock retrieval is going to be the name of the game for many space probes. In fact, on Mars right now, we have another probe that's also in the initial process of rock retrieval from outer space. So, Michael, glad you could be on Science. Fantastic.
Good to be here. Thank you.
So the first question for you is, Michael, when you were a kid now, think back. When you were a kid, what inspired you to become a scientist and eventually a space scientist?
Well, like many people of my era, it was the astronauts. One of my first memories is being woken up to look at some part of the Apollo program and seeing what they were doing. And I wanted to do that. Later on, I found out that that job probably wasn't literally the one I wanted to do, but that's what got me started.
And so you didn't dream about becoming an astronaut. You wanted to be a space scientist or an astronomer?
Well, I wanted to be an astronaut, and then that sort of just got sort of more detailed and realized that the actual astronauting part was probably not for me for a number of reasons, one of which is that I get seasick, but that the exploration aspect was still what I wanted to do.
Okay, now we're going to be throwing out a lot of terms today, so let's define them. Let's talk about what is the difference between a meteor, an asteroid, and a comet. If you could just walk us through that very simply.
Right. So, I mean, to some extent, what they're all rocks out in space, or at least they start off that way. A meteor is when basically a small pebble out in space enters the Earth's atmosphere and makes a big streak of light. If you live someplace where the sky is reasonably dark and clear, you've probably seen them. If you've seen in a big city, it's possible to occasionally see them, but it's pretty rare that one is bright enough. An asteroid then is the rock when it's out in space, and we usually think of that as ones big enough to see in a telescope, which are sort of hundreds of meters, a good fraction of a mile across. And then a comet literally has hair, but what that means is that things are boiling off the comet, mostly ice, and that we can see those in the telescope. So they're observational things as to when you first see these things, you don't realize that it took quite a while for people to know that they were connected things, that they were all basically chunks of rocks and ice out in space that either enter the atmosphere for a meteor or are really just rocks for an asteroid or are boiling away for a comet.
Okay, so today we're going to be talking about the OSIRIS-REx probe, which intercepted the Bennu asteroid in outer space. First of all, what is the name OSIRIS-REx? What does it mean? Where does it come from?
So it is, in fact, of course, like many of these things, sort of an assembled name. So it's the Origins Spectral Interpretation Resource Identification Security Regolith Explorer. The designers of the mission, of whom I was one, but not the one who came up with this name, had these things they wanted to do. So asteroids are believed to be left over from the formation of the solar system, and some of them are very what we call primitive, meaning they haven't been processed very much. And so we're searching for origins, and that's where the O comes from. Resource identification. So there's, as you said, one of the reasons people study asteroids is that it's a potential source of resources. And you're talking about gold and platinum, but really the most valuable resource out in space is probably water. And so we're looking for water out on these. So that's where the resource identification comes from. And the security has to do with the potential hazard. Bennu is one of, it does have a chance of hitting the Earth now, not for quite a while, 2180 something. And that if an asteroid hits the Earth, this has happened in the past, it'll happen in the future, that would be very dangerous. And so we want to understand those hazards, because unlike most natural hazards, that's something you could do something about. So its name was assembled from the different goals that this mission had. And then once we got close to something, we kind of made the rest of it fit.
Okay, Michael, let's take a short commercial break. And after the break, we're going to continue a discussion of the OSIRIS space probe, which is making history in outer space. Our special guest today is Dr. Michael Nolan, Science Team Chief with the Asiris Program at the University of Arizona. And you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. And maybe you can get on national radio. Give us a call and let's explore the universe together.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing, we've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away. At soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Join me, George Norrie, for Contact in the Desert Worldwide Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to the 28th. Contact in the Desert will be an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient alien civilizations, consciousness, AI, crop circles, and cutting-edge science. More than 130 presentations, 67 speakers, and 2 extra weeks to view our extraordinary lineup. Get your tickets today at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $50 on our popular 4-week emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $50 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Today, our special guest today is Dr. Michael Nolan, Science Team Chief with the OSIRIS-REx program at the University of Arizona. And he's going to be talking to us about a probe, a NASA probe, that is actually scooping up material, asteroid material, and will eventually bring it back to the planet Earth. Now, some people say, well, it's just a rocket out of space, right? What use can a piece of rock from outer space bring us? But isn't it, in some sense, a snapshot of the solar system when it was first formed? Doesn't it give us insight into the origin of the solar system itself?
Exactly. The point of visiting these asteroids is to the most scientific, I suppose, of the reasons that we're looking for them is to understand how the solar system was formed, what it was made of. When we say the solar system was made of XYZ, we get that by looking at meteorites, rocks that have been in space and have fallen on the ground and somebody picks them up. You've probably heard about the Chernobyl explosion, and then there was a meteorite. It can be quite dramatic, but we find these pieces, and they came from these asteroids. And so when we say the solar system made of this, we studied those asteroids in great detail in the laboratory to see what they were made of, and then said this must be what the solar system was made of. But all of those meteorites have one thing in common, which is that they went through the atmosphere and were heated and cooked and possibly burned up. So we're going to an asteroid. The Bennu is an asteroid that we believe is one of the most primitive ones, one of the least processed ones. And we're just picking up a piece. It won't have been to the atmosphere. It won't have been cooked by that process. And it won't have to survive that arduous journey because we're just going to bring it home in a can. So we have a reasonable expectation that the piece of this asteroid, that Bennu is made of material that we've never seen before in the laboratory. And so we're thinking it's likely to really revolutionize our understanding of what the solar system was made of, because it really will be much, much more pristine than the meteorites we've been studying for centuries.
Now, these asteroids are basically just dots on a telescope photograph. It's very hard to figure out what they really look like up close. Some people even think that some asteroids are loose collections of rock held together by a weak gravitational field, and that if you try to blow it up, you would get thousands of fragments and pieces coming at you. Other people think, no, asteroids are solid objects. So until you visit them, we really don't know what they're like, right? So what did we know about Bennu before we sent the probe there?
So Bennu, it turns out, so I used to be at the Arecibo Observatory in Puerto Rico, which had the world's most powerful, what we call planetary radar. And we were able to use this radar, which is just like the radar gun that somebody uses to see how fast you're going, but much bigger, and took pictures of the asteroid Bennu. So we did have a rough model of it. We knew it was basically a round ball, which made us think it was probably a rubble pile, because otherwise somebody had to go out there with a chisel to make it round. So it was probably just basically a pile of rocks. We knew how big it was. We knew how fast it rotated. We knew the rough shape. And that turned out to help a lot in planning the mission, to have a pretty good notion of where we were going, at least at the large scale. And so that was a really valuable, that's one of the reasons we chose Bennu, because we had this information about it, which made planning the space mission a lot easier.
And speaking about the Arecibo Radio Telescope, it collapsed recently. Wasn't that a big setback, especially because, as you pointed out, the radar allows earthbound astronomers to get closer pictures of some of these asteroids? So what was it like to be at Arecibo and then to hear that the telescope crashed?
Well, it was I wasn't there when it crashed, but yeah, that was a very difficult day, having to announce that, and it was so much of a part of our mission that when I had to tell people about it, it was a. In fact, I'm having. It'll take me a moment to recover now. It was a very sad. Very sad day. Arecibo was the most powerful planetary radar and also the only one really dedicated just to doing scientific investigations. There is one other facility that can do some of these things, but it's part of the Deep Space Network, and it has, as I like to say, it has a day job doing something else.
Now, I understand that the OSIRIS space probe intercepted the Bennu satellite, landed there, and scooped up material. So how do you do that? How do you scoop up material from an asteroid when you really don't know what the composition, the structural composition and the integrity of the asteroid is?
Well, as you say, that was something we had to sort of plan as best we could by looking at these images of Bennu and some other the light coming off of it. We thought we would probably be able to find essentially loose dirt, probably like pebbles. And so we decided to bring what was more or less a vacuum cleaner Now, of course, space is full of vacuum. So as so often in space, you bring the thing that isn't there, right? So on the Earth, when you're in a vacuum, you need to bring suction. Well, there's plenty of suction in space. What you need to bring is your own air. So we brought bottles of nitrogen to essentially blow surface material into what looks like an old-fashioned car air filter. And it basically works the same way, too. And so, and that turned out to work quite well. That we were, when we blew the surface material into this filter, we think we got probably more than a pound of material. Our requirement was only a couple of ounces, so we're very hopeful that we got a lot of good sample to bring back home.
Okay, and also give us a timetable. Approximately when was OSIRIS-REx launched towards Bennu? When did it intercept Bennu? And of course, it's been there for a while. And now it's coming back to Earth and will eventually deposit its payload on the Earth. So give us a time frame as to the life cycle of the OSIRIS-REx probe.
So it was launched in 2016, and sort of the cycle at which the Bennu and the Earth go around in their orbits is about a little over every 6 years. And so it was launched in 2016. We arrived at Bennu late in 2018. We left quite recently. We left on Monday, May 10th. And it was when we finally left Bennu, and then it'll return in September of 2023 and drop off the capsule September 24th.
So that's when scientists will have a close-up look at asteroid material, right? Something that we very rarely have an opportunity, right? That's going to be a great day, isn't it?
That's going to be a great day. It'll take a while to, you know, package it up. It's going to get shipped off to the Johnson Space Center, where it has a lab right next to where the moon rocks are stored. And there will be a fairly extensive process in sort of unpackaging it, cataloging. It will be kept mostly under dry nitrogen to avoid processing it any more than we have to before we can start analyzing the sample.
And also, when these asteroids hit the Earth, they are meteorites. And they have certain very definite chemical signatures. They're carbonaceous meteorites, iron meteorites. So what kind of asteroid is Bennu? Do we know ahead of time what the composition is, given the fact that we have meteorites whose chemical compositions we're aware of?
We have a reasonably good idea. Again, we're hoping and that Bennu might be significantly different than some of those meteorites. But we've identified water. We've identified the clay minerals. So there was essentially rocks that had probably liquid water on them for some amount of time. There's a lot of carbon. A lot of the sort of the things you can measure from a distance of a lot of those materials are very subtle and hard to measure. Bennu has a pretty dark uniform color. It's darker than charcoal. So we've identified those things, the clays and water. It's been difficult to do too much more, but in the lab we'll be able to do all kinds of amazing analyses.
Now, you mentioned that Bennu, there's a small probability that it could actually hit the Earth at some point in the future. Not likely, but you can't totally rule it out. So how big is Bennu, and what would happen if it actually hit the Earth? And compare it with other things that we've had, like the meteors that sailed over Russia recently. Oh, let's take a short commercial break. And after the break, we'll continue with the discussion of retrieving stardust from outer space. This is Dr. Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic. Our special guest today is Dr. Michael Nolan, Science Team Chief with the OSIRIS-REx program to bring back rock from outer space from an asteroid. And if you want to get on Science Fantastic, give us a call at 612-564-8135, and maybe you can get on national radio. Give us a call.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King. the gas shortage following last Friday's hack of the Colonial Pipeline is still a problem from Georgia to Maryland. AAA's Andrew Gross.
You're going to be looking at a lot of gas flowing into areas like Southern Virginia, the Carolinas, Georgia, and Tennessee. But motorists in these areas can expect a few more days of limited fuel supply.
He said the biggest problem now is people hoarding gas for no reason, just to be greedy. A Florida politician has agreed to a plea deal and says he will cooperate with the federal investigation of North Florida Republican Congressman Matt Gaetz. Joel Greenberg is expected to plead guilty to 6 federal charges, including sex trafficking of a child, during a court appearance in Orlando on Monday. Gaetz denies the allegations and says he will not resign his seat in Congress. This is USA Radio News. The White House is defending the timing of the CDC's decision to relax mask guidelines for vaccinated people. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said they had no role in the decision.
They were determined by, decided by what they were going to be, what the specifics were, but also the timeline by the CDC. Not by us, not by the White House, not by the president, to be very clear.
On Thursday, CDC Director Rochelle Walensky said the guidelines were changed due to increased vaccination rates and a sharp drop in COVID-19 cases. Several states are now dropping mask mandates, including President Biden's home state of Delaware, which will end their mandate May 21st. The National Terrorism Advisory System is now warning of a very complex and volatile mix of domestic terrorism, groups that are inspired by foreign terrorists. It warns that the groups could exploit the easing of COVID restrictions by targeting public places. The Department of Homeland Security is now working to respond to the threat. This is USA Radio News.
Join me, George Norrie, for the Worldwide Contact in the Desert Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to June 28th. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure jam-packed with exciting explorations into UFOs, ancient civilizations, AI, crop circles, forbidden archaeology, disclosure, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact, sightings, and leading-edge science. This amazing weekend delivers more than 130 presentations and special events showcasing 67 speakers from all over the world, with 2 extra weeks to view your favorite leading experts, including Avi Loeb with Clyde Lewis, Linda Moulton Howe, Paul Hellyer, John Lear, Russell Targ, David Childress, Doc Wallach, and more. With breaking articles in the New York Times and acknowledged naval sightings, and more importantly, the new release of classified documents on the day of the soft opening of Contact in the Desert, we are your source for inside information. Join us June 25th at contactinthedesert.com to get your tickets today. Make contact, contactinthedesert.com.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Our special guest today is Dr. Michael Nolan, Science Team Chief with the OSIRIS-REx program. He's at the University of Arizona, and we're talking about a NASA mission, a NASA first, to bring back rock material from a distant asteroid in outer space. And also, once again, if you want to find out what I'm doing, get a copy of my latest book. It's called The God Equation, now an international bestseller. And it's about, well, what I do for a living. What I do for a living is work on something called string theory, which we think is the theory of everything. The theory that eluded Einstein for the last 30 years of his life. An equation, perhaps no more than 1 inch long, that will allow us to, quote, read the mind of God. An equation that basically set off the Big Bang. An equation that unifies electricity, magnetism, the two nuclear forces, and gravity into a single theory. This could be the ultimate theory. The theory of the universe. The God equation. So get a copy. It's now an international bestseller. It made the New York Times, Amazon, and independent bookstores bestseller list. The book is called The God Equation. But today we're talking to Dr. Michael Nolan, science team chief with the OSIRIS-REx program, a historic mission. For the first time, NASA has reached out to an asteroid called Bennu, scooped up asteroid material, and wants to bring it back to the planet Earth. And of course, when people talk about asteroids, they think, uh-oh, what about Armageddon? What about Deep Impact? Can one of these things eventually land on my own backyard? Well, we'll say a few things about that. But first of all, tell us about Bennu. How big is it? And you mentioned that at some point in the future, who knows for sure, it might impact on the planet Earth. And what can we do about that?
Yeah, so Bennu is about, it's basically round. It's about 500 meters across, maybe like about a third of a mile. And it has about a 1 in a million chance of hitting the Earth in it. There's a couple different possibilities around the year 2180. And unlike a lot of natural hazards, as long as we know about it with years of warning, asteroids, a hazard from an asteroid is something we could do something about. Basically, if we have years of warning, you don't have to push very hard to move even something this big away from the Earth, because all you have to do is make sure that if you think it's going to hit at a time, just slow it down or speed it up so that it just goes past where the Earth is before the Earth gets there or after it leaves. So we're measuring the orbit of Bennu. We've ruled out it, both by all the observations we've made and also during the space mission, several of the possible impacts, but there still are a couple that are possible. And you know, I think it's in the year 2050. I don't remember that number exactly. It will have a reasonably close pass by the Earth, one of the kind that you hear about on the news where something's, you know, going the distance of the moon or something. We know it won't hit then. After that, we'll be able to measure where it is again and refine our understanding of whether it will or won't hit. If we're still worried that it'll hit, basically, we have the technology to push it aside now. It would be expensive, but it's something we absolutely know how to do. And so, one of the reasons we study these asteroids is to go and see if there are any that could hurt, that could hurt us, because it is something we could do something about, unlike, you know, earthquakes and things.
Okay, well, let's take another short commercial break. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Our special guest today is Dr. Michael Nolan, Science Team Chief with the OSIRIS-REx program. Stay tuned as we continue to discuss what's out there in outer space, what happens when we bring some of this material back to Earth, and can some of it land on our backyard? So once again, this is Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call at 612-564-8135.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
As life in America looks to return to normal, how can you succeed in the new stock market? With the tech dip, volatility with interest rates, and fear around the yield curve, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text the word money to 813-813 to find out how our technology can forecast market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Text money to 813-813 to find explosive moves before they happen. Vantage Point's patented artificial intelligence can give you a massive edge. Text the word money to 813-813. Start predicting trends 72 hours in advance and maximize your gains. Text money to 813-813.
Experience Vantage Point for free. Learn how successful traders generate their wealth. Don't wait. Text the word money to 813-813.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Today we're talking about asteroids. Is it possible that we could scoop up some stardust and bring it back to Earth just like in the songs of yore? Well, with us today is Dr. Michael Nolan, Science Team Chief with the OSIRIS-REx program, and NASA has scored a victory. NASA successfully sent the OSIRIS-REx space probe out to the asteroid Bennu, successfully scooped up material, about a pound's worth, and is now on its way back to Earth, where scientists are eagerly awaiting the arrival of stardust from outer space, that is, debris, rock material from an asteroid called Bennu. And with us today is Dr. Michael Nolan, Science Team Chief with the OSIRIS-REx program. Now, Michael, however, most people, when they hear about asteroids, they think of Bruce Willis in the movie Armageddon. But isn't it true that the space shuttle can only go around the Earth, spin wheels around the Earth, and was never designed to go into deep space to intercept an asteroid? So we would have to start from scratch. We would have to modify our rockets so that they can reach out to outer space to intercept an asteroid and perhaps push it out of the way. But at the present time, isn't it true that we have no rocket that is specifically designed to do this?
It's certainly true that we don't currently have anything designed to do this, but it's also true that if you want to push away an asteroid, you're not going to blow it up. Well, people will have lots of ideas of what you want to do. Most likely what you would do probably is essentially just push it away. And as I said, we'll know whether Bennu is still a hazard more than 100 years before the actual time when it would hit the Earth. It gives us a lot of time to design and build a system to move it out of the way and to figure out what the best way is. So the fact that we don't currently have a rocket that can do this is not something that keeps me up at night.
Okay, well, science fiction writers, of course, dream up the worst-case scenario. Let me give you one worst-case scenario. Comets sometimes have orbits that are unpredictable. They make like one pass through the solar system, never to be seen again. If a comet whips by the sun, and so we cannot see it because it's behind the sun, whips around, comes around, and then is headed toward Earth, we would have basically just a few weeks' warning not 100 years, but a few weeks warning when a comet with our name on it comes our way because we were not able to track it because it only makes one pass through the solar system. That, of course, is a worst-case scenario, but what are your thoughts about that?
Well, I mean, there are some things that you can't deal with. And so a few weeks warning, having dealt with, you could try the Bruce Willis thing. I suppose if you're certain that it's going to hit you, it's worth a try. But we probably wouldn't know its trajectory. With just a few weeks, we probably wouldn't actually know its trajectory well enough to be able to be sure it was going to hit. I'm not going to predict future technology to know when that's possible. So, yes, that is the worst case because with a few weeks, you don't have time to push it out of the way. If you happen to have something ready to go, maybe you could go and knock on it or try to blow it up. I suspect most people are more worried about people with random bombs in space than they are about a comet with 3 weeks warning, because in fact that would be probably a lot more dangerous over the long haul, because the unseen comet is really just not very likely,
and also there is an asteroid called Apophis. Is about 1,000 feet across. You could fit it right in the Rose Bowl, for example. And some people think that it's going to come whizzing by the Earth in the next years and has two chances of hitting the Earth, once on the first initial flyby, and then as it whips around a second time. And there's still a little bit of controversy as to exactly how close it's going to get to the Earth. Recent studies show that it'll probably miss the Earth. But what are your thoughts about Apophis? It is pretty big, 1,000 feet across.
Apophis is big enough that you definitely, if it hit the Earth where you were, you would have a bad day. As you said, the very recent research in the last couple of months has essentially ruled out any impact in either 2029 or 2036, which were the two possibilities. And actually, we're hoping that once the OSIRIS-REx spacecraft has dropped off its sample of the Earth, that we'll be able to go to
Apophis. Okay, Michael, we have to take yet another short commercial break, but afterwards we're going to continue a discussion of asteroids in outer space and the OSIRIS-REx program, a first for NASA, bringing back, well, stardust from outer space back to the planet Earth. You were listening to Science Fantastic. Give us a call at 612-564-8135 if you want to get on 100 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic to ask a question or make a comment. Give us a call.
With orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. and I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. If you want to know more about Science Fantastic and what I do, go to my website. It's mkaku.org, mkaku.org. There's all the information about if you want to get a copy of my latest bestseller, The God Equation, plus interviews that I've done. I was on the Stephen Colbert CBS Late Night Show. I've been on public television, radio stations, blogs around the country. Go to my website, mkaku.org, or go to my Facebook site. We have 4.5 million fans on Facebook to find out what all the excitement is about. And again, my latest book is called The God Equation, The Quest for a Theory of Everything. Well, let's talk about asteroids. You know, years ago, Thomas Jefferson, centuries ago, bought the Louisiana Purchase, a huge chunk of American real estate. But Thomas Jefferson said that it would take 1,000 years to colonize the West after he purchased the Louisiana Purchase from Napoleon. However, he didn't foresee what happened in 1849, the gold rush. The gold rush happened, and all of a sudden the West got colonized within a matter of decades, not 1,000 years. And some people are saying now that the Wild West is the asteroid belt. Because if you could mine an asteroid, if you could either mine it or bring it back, lasso it and bring it back to Earth, there's enough material in the asteroid to make billionaires out of the people who take this risk. And NASA even had a program by which it would begin the process, the first steps toward perhaps meeting an asteroid and perhaps bringing it back to the Earth. So with us today is Dr. Michael Nolan, an expert on asteroids, science team chief with the OSIRIS-REx program at the University of Arizona. So, Michael, tell us a little bit about whether it's practical or totally preposterous what some Google billionaires are doing. They're putting money on the table, stating that if we can bring it back an asteroid at some point in the distant future, not immediately, of course, then whoever put up the money would become a billionaire because of rare earths, platinum materials that are rare. What are your thoughts about that? Is that just a pipe dream, or is that realistic when people are putting money on the table to mine an asteroid?
Well, for one thing, in order to be able to afford to do it, you have to already be a billionaire. So there is some question of what the return is. I think there are valuable things out there in asteroids, and one could go, in principle, mine them. I think more likely than to bring it home, it would be to use it there. If you want to go live in space, if you want to go do this mining of some place that you have found, you need the materials that you'll need to be out there. And right now, bringing material into space is many thousands of dollars a pound just to get it there. And so one of the things people are looking at is how can we get the materials we need out in space. Now, one of the most valuable things in space is water because it's heavy, and you need a lot of it to live. And you also need a lot of it for it can be made into a good rocket fuel. And so the Bennu we've discovered has a lot of water on it, probably something like 10% water. And so it would be a very valuable source of that really precious resource in space that you need a lot of. So I think the idea of mining asteroids is something that is likely to happen. I'm not going to be able to say when, but that is absolutely one of the things that we're interested in looking is to see how can we use these materials probably to go live there more than to bring it home.
And you mentioned water. Wasn't it recent that scientists have re-looked at the question of where our oceans came from? Some people think that maybe our oceans came from comets and asteroids that hit the Earth billions of years ago, creating the oceans. What are your thoughts? Do asteroids have enough water to create the oceans of the Earth? Or for that matter, where did the oceans of the Earth come from?
Well, again, asteroids are the things that the Earth, the left remnants of the things that the Earth is made from. So in a sense, we know that it came from asteroids. Now, we don't know whether it was more asteroids or more comets, and people have argued about the details of exactly where the different things came from but they have to do by looking at, you know, isotopes and detailed chemical analyses. But in the broad picture, absolutely the water came from asteroids and comets because everything came from those things. Everything that the Earth is made of came from those things.
Okay, now, given the fact that when an asteroid, pieces of it, hit the Earth, they become meteors, meteorites can be analyzed, the question is, if you're going to be investing billions of dollars into this technology, how do you know how much platinum-based materials are inside an asteroid? Could you just be chasing a dream? Or are there really valuable minerals that exist on asteroids that would tantalize any investor? What are your thoughts about what we really know about these rare earth elements and platinum-based elements?
So the Bennu is what we call a primitive asteroid that doesn't have a huge amount of those things. It probably has some. We're studying it for a different reason. All kinds of meteorites have fallen on the Earth. And if you're going to go looking for things like platinum, you're probably going to look at some of the asteroids that are made of metal. Now, metal comes to the atmosphere to hit the Earth just fine. And so there's lots of metallic and stony metallic meteorites that have landed, and we've analyzed in great detail. So I think we have a pretty good understanding of what the composition of those are. And if somebody wants to go study those and say, yeah, this has in it what I need, there's really no reason that we have a pretty good notion of how they could find that.
Now, some people say that, well, it's just rock. It's just rocking out of space, right? How can you make money from rock? However, unfortunately, our time is up. So, Michael, thank you so much for being on Science Fantastic. And if people want to know more about OSIRIS-REx, go to nasa.gov. And once again, the program is called OSIRIS-REx. So, Michael, thank you so much for being on Science Fantastic.
It was good to be here, Professor.
And once again, if you want to get on Science Fantastic, give us a call at 612-564-8135. And if you want to find out more about my work, go to my website, mkaku.org, or my Facebook site. We have 4.5 million fans on Facebook. Find out about my latest bestseller, The God Equation, The Quest for a Theory of Everything.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need. Just not from your business.
So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email. Advertise at GCNlive.com.